Good morning, this is Kemp Haar, and our guests this morning are in Bristol, Virginia, with Universal Fibers. We have Bill Goodman, who's VP of Sales and Marketing, and Bentley Park, the CEO of Universal. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing great, Kemp. How are you doing?
Good. Well, thanks for being with us this morning. I thought it'd be good. I think it's been about 6 months since we've talked to you guys, and, you know, with everything that's going on in the marketplace, it's probably be good to catch up with you. Why don't one of you tell us just a real quick overview about Universal?
This is Bentley. Let me just give you a summary of what we do. We are primarily a solution dyed fiber producer. Our two primary markets are commercial carpet, which encompasses about 60% of our sales, and automotive carpet, which encompasses about 30%, with the remainder going into industrial fibers applications. We're located, our headquarters are in Bristol, Virginia, and we have facilities in Thailand, and we've recently started up a facility in Shanghai, China.
Okay. Now, when you say solution-dyed carpet fiber, it's mostly 6/6, or you make different types of carpet fiber, don't you?
We do. From a polymer standpoint, we are split pretty equally between nylon 6/6 and nylon 6, and we see polyester growing within our polymer portfolio.
Okay. Well, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, especially at the tail end of Greenbuild, is that you guys are the company that's responsible for developing a method or process for taking nylon 6/6 after it's been used in carpet and turning it back into fiber, which can be tufted back into new carpet. So I think you call that Earth Smart Technologies, don't you?
Yeah, we do, and we're pretty excited about it. We're the only company that has been able to accomplish that. We've developed a proprietary technology which can take the fiber from the discarded carpet and clean it up, purify it, and turn it back into first quality fiber. So that's something we're excited about and very proud of as well.
Okay, because as we all know, and as we look at this whole cradle to cradle and trying to minimize the footprint, I mean, finding an outlet for 6/6 has been a little bit, if anybody that knows much about care, I mean, that's been an issue. As people start collecting used carpet, they really don't know what to do with nylon 6/6, because as we know, Shaw has a process for taking 6 and turning it back into a yarn, and so this is big news. So tell me, what's your progress in this process?
We started up a pilot facility earlier this year, and we've steadily been increasing the size and the throughput through that facility. We will be installing a larger commercial scale facility early next year, and we're very pleased with the progress we've made as far as the ability to purify the fiber and the content of the post-consumer material that we're able to put in first quality fiber.
One of the things, I was at Neocon this year, and I went to the Interface booth, and I think Interface calls your process reentry, but they were talking about, I mean, they were actually showing a yarn that looked almost white. And I think as you first started developing this, you had to, your output for this recycled material had to be somewhat muted, but you guys have developed a process for actually outputting a lighter yarn, haven't you?
Yes, this is Bill. We're really pleased with innovation that's come out of what we call EarthSmart technology. That is our proprietary technology that we're using here to do what Bentley just previously described. Reentry 2.0 is certainly interface technology and process that they're using to reclaim the carpet. So Interface would be a source of raw material for us that allows us to then process through EarthSmart technology. The kind of results that you're describing. So we're very pleased with the capability that we have. It's obviously a real breakthrough for the industry. In fact, Kemp, we have been successful going from a few colors through this process to where we have gradually not only increased colors, but also content through the process. Currently today, we are doing 70 colors, believe it or not. The industry, I think, was skeptical about anyone having that kind of capability. But for us to go from a black and what was considered to be unattractive colors for a good broad color palette that we needed for the commercial carpet industry, we've been able to defy that and actually take it to 70 colors, a lot of very bright, light colors that the preference.
Well, we all know how important the coloring is, and especially in the commercial market, and how important it is to match colors. So you guys have made some pretty major breakthroughs on the color side, and on the performance side too. I mean, when this yarn that you produce, in comparison to say a virgin yarn, the properties are very similar, aren't they?
Yeah, we're again very pleased with the performance of the product. After going through our process, the key is the purification step. After carpet's been on the floor for 8 to 10 years, there's a lot of stuff to take out of it in order to make it a first quality fiber. So, through that technology that we've developed that we're calling EarthSmart, we're able to make a fiber that has the same physical attributes as the first quality fiber, as a fiber produced from virgin polymer.
Okay. The new fiber that you come out with, what is its percentage of recycled material?
It's a growing percentage. We started at roughly 5%.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're double digit, and it's growing every day. So where it stops, we don't know. Our goal is that's going to be our primary raw material source sometime in the future.
Okay. As you work on this process, your goal is to get more and more recycled content in.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, with any new process, there's a learning curve you have to go through, and we're on the steep part of that learning curve right now. So as we learn and gain more experience, the content increase.
All right, fantastic. Well, that covers EarthSmart technology. I also had a couple other questions. Last time we talked, you were talking about the early stages. I mean, I know you have your headquarters in Bristol, Virginia, and you also have an operation in Thailand. And I think earlier this year you opened your facilities in mainland China. So tell us how that expansion's been going.
Yes, we had our grand opening Taicang, China, which is right outside of Shanghai, in March of this year, immediately following the China 4 show. Again, it's something that we're very excited about. That the plant that started up and is producing fiber for the commercial carpet industry. We're primarily producing nylon 6/6 fiber. We can also produce nylon 6. We're in the process right now of expanding that plant to produce products for the automotive industry, and that part of the plant should start up in the second quarter of 2009.
So out of that plant, you will serve both the auto industry and the carpet industry?
That is correct, yes.
Now, the yarn that's made at that facility, will it be used for domestically? Is it for domestic carpet and domestic automobiles, or are they manufactured and then exported? Do you have any idea?
Well, yes. The plant was placed there to service the Asian market, Southeast Asian market. So it will encompass the region from Australia to Japan, including China, obviously. So it is not to produce the product there and bring it back into the American market. It is strictly for the Asian market.
Okay. Another question that I had for you, as we watched the pricing of oil go from, $140, almost $150 a barrel, down to below $50 a barrel. What relationship does that have for the price of nylon fiber?
Well, it certainly seemed to have a direct relationship on the way up.
Yeah.
Because the polymer cost increased tremendously, basically through the third quarter of this year.
Right.
We saw, historically high polymer cost, particularly in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Coming down, we haven't seen quite that direct relationship, certainly on the nylon 6/6 side, and I think the reason for that are the base raw materials that are used to produce those polymers. Those seem to dictate the price more directly, much more directly than a barrel of crude.
Yeah.
So we've seen some movement in nylon 6, and to this point, very little movement in nylon 6/6 polymer costs.
Yeah, I think it's important for our listeners to understand that, unlike some fibers like making olefin fiber, which might be more tied closely to the price of a barrel of oil, there's many other components in the manufacturing of nylon, and some of those are not directly related to the price of oil. So many times when the price of oil fluctuates, it does not have a direct effect on nylon. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, there is some relationship, but it's not a direct relationship you might intuitively think. And a lot of that's due to the supply and demand of those base raw materials. That seems to dictate the price and cost of direct relationship with the barrel of oil.
Well, guys, I appreciate you spending time with us today and updating us on what's been going on. And kudos to you for being able to develop a process for taking nylon 6/6 and turning it back into a product that this industry can use, and all of the sustainability gains that that has for this marketplace. We've been talking to Bill Goodman in Bentley Park. Bill's the Vice President of Sales and Marketing, and Bentley Park is CEO with Universal Fibers. And you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.